As you know, we have just returned from Shida Mayapur, and of course, we had a good opportunity to think about the unique gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the people of this time. Really, when we think of the people of this time, we think of us. So I would like to talk today about the unique gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to us, really. If you study this very carefully, I believe you will gain a very deep understanding of your Krishna conscious sadhana. You will also get a deep understanding of your own good fortune. And you might also get a little glimpse into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, let me say, mission in this world, a mission which all of us have become part of in some ways. I would like to start with what we say in German, an Augenzeugenbericht, which is very, very interesting. Augenzeugenbericht means someone who saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who saw his huge influence on others, and who discussed this with someone who didn't have the same qualifications as this person who will talk now to us. This is a Brahmana from the town of Kashi or Varanasi. Who has been to Varanasi, if I may ask? Himavati has been to Varanasi. I have also been in Varanasi. And just now Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu has gone to Varanasi. It was very, very nice. I was coming from Navadvip with one of these boats, and then I saw Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu with his luggage coming to the to the Mayapur Ghat. So when I came out of my boat, I saw him there, standing at the Mayapur Ghat where I had just landed, and I asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "It's sad to say, but I'm leaving Mayapur now, and I'm going to Kashi." And I said, "Don't be sad. In Kashi there are jewels for you also. There's Lord Shiva who will connect you to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence is very much there in Kashi, and still you can feel it. And also in Kashi you can think about your own death a little bit." So we started to discuss these three points. Lord Shiva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and our own death. And as we were discussing, the boat left. Was in the process of leaving for Navadvip, and then there was a train to Varanasi. We were just discussing amongst brothers about these things, and we didn't see that the boat was actually in the process of leaving. Then the boat boat, this man, boatman, you know, who was actually our friend, called Cello, and the boat was, then I thought, oh no, I'm keeping my friend from going to Kashi, and so I carried his things down, and he had to jump into the boat which was leaving, and we had to throw the things behind him because it's India. It's very unusual, everything. So then he went to Kashi, and I want to also take all of you now to go with me to Kashi. There we will find a Brahmana who has actually seen Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting and dancing in profound ecstasy of love of Godhead. This Brahmana had become so much influenced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's electrical bhakti, which really, when you saw it, was moving your heart, that he had actually visited the main spiritual authority of that time in Kashi, who was, I think you know, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, who had 50,000 disciples in Kashi alone. Now, he must have had many more followers, but his disciples were all really sannyasis. He would only accept sannyasis, but he must have had many, many followers. And this Brahmana talked about what he saw when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so now you will enter into an Augenzeugenbericht. This Brahmana was actually there, and he saw and felt Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence. Please listen very carefully. It's very telling, and it gives you quite a good picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he starts. Eke sanyasa si oila jaganata hoite tanhara mahima pratan na parivanite. The Brahmana told Prakashananda Saraswati, there is a sannyasi who has come from Jagannath Puri, and I cannot describe his wonderful influence and glories. So he starts, actually I can't say anything, it's just so overwhelming. And then after, you know, composing himself a little thing, he brings out a few descriptions. Everything is wonderful about that sannyasi. Now first he describes his body. He has a very well built and luxurious body, and his complexion is like purified gold. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strong and stout, therefore well built, in the words of the Brahmana. He was 2 meters and 10 high, extraordinary large was his body. He really left an impression, you know, especially amongst the small Indians, you know, who were a little bit like Kalakanda size. You know, he really made, you know. And then he says how his complexion was like molten gold. Now most of you have never seen molten gold, and to see molten gold we would have to convince Ganga Mayi to give us her decorations, and then mold it, and then we would see. But we would see if I think this is a very good gold. We would see that the molten gold would have almost a little reddish hue, a little like maybe this color, and it would start to glow. It would really start to shine. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's complexion, or you can say Ausstrahlung, has been described by Srila Rupa Goswami as being that of molten gold, a very fragrant champak flower, and a flash in the night sky. If you would see him, you would, the only description which Vrindavan Das Thakur can give is he looked like 10,000 cupids, gods of love. But then he says this description is not a fair description, because the cupid stirs up the heart with agitation. You know, when someone is falling in love, his heart is quite moved by this experience. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moved the heart not like Cupid moves the heart, that is, with some agitation, maybe feelings of desire and shame at the same time. These feelings of Cupid are sometimes very unexplainable with words. No, this effulgence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which moved people, you know, it says his wonderful influence, pratapa, this would actually melt people's heart. Therefore, also the example of purified or molten gold is given, that it would melt people's heart as well, and it would really move people like 10,000 cupids at once, but not in an agitating way, in a loving way. This is how it is described. Now, his further description is given. He has arms that extend to his knees, and his eyes are like the petals of a lotus. His eyes were especially large, and some described that they seemed to touch his ears, the upper portion of his ears. In his person are all the transcendental symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he says what was his impression. When one sees all these features, you know, his huge influence, his luminous nature, and the love which comes in the heart, one takes him to be Narayan himself. And then he says another quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whoever sees him immediately begins to chant the holy name of Krishna. So it seemed when Mahaprabhu would come somewhere, that whoever saw him started to chant. I mean, we have descriptions that even dogs who saw him started to chant. I mean, four-legged dogs, not any, you know, animals would start to chant. Even as he went through the forest of Jarikanda, he saw that there was a tiger on his path, and he would actually kick this tiger. The tiger was asleep. The tiger would wake up. Who has disturbed my royal sleep? Mahaprabhu would see him, and he would say to him, "Chant Hare Krishna, don't waste your time." He's sleeping, and now it comes. The tiger would then start to chant and dance, and in his dancing he would become so moved that he would sometimes jump on his hind legs, and he would actually embrace deers. This is quite extraordinary. You must admit, admit this. This is this is not really ordinary. So therefore, the Brahmana says, anyone starts to chant, I can't find any other explanation. He is Narayan himself. Then he says, we have heard about the symptoms of a first-class devotee in Srimad Bhagavatam. What are these symptoms, you remember? One was, I believe he... it must be in reference to this, that he makes people Krishna consciousness just by his presence. And all those symptoms are manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now please listen to this. His tongue is always chanting the holy name of Krishna. In yoga, there is something which is called ajapa japa. I'm looking towards our yoga guru, Dr. Thomas. Ajapa japa is a actually desired state of anyone who does japa. Ajapa japa means that without your conscious control, the japa is going on within you. Sometimes I think we already feel this when we wake up in the morning and we find out we have chanted in the night. The melody of the kirtan is still going on. Has this happened to some of you already? This is a desired state in japa. That you, or I know from in Vrindavan when I chant for long amounts of time, then it verselbstendigt sich. It becomes something which happens automatic without my conscious inference. This is actually what a japa yogi wishes to attain, that the mantra is always within him and he is it always chants, not he chants but the mantra chants, you know. Or the mantra moves. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this is described, he just once came out of the bathroom and he was biting his tongue. There was a little 8-year-old boy, his name was Gopal, who said, why are you biting your tongue? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm just coming from the bathroom and I did not want my tongue to chant the holy name, but it was always chanting the holy name. I didn't want it to chant at the dirty place. But Siddhartha, you should know that the chanting can never be influenced by pure or impure. It is always transcendental. And do you know when you will die? Better you chant anywhere and everywhere, said the little boy Gopal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this boy on his lap and said, from this day on, you are no longer Gopal. You are Gopal Guru, my Guru, because you have given me very valuable instructions on chanting. So his tongue was always chanting the holy names of Krishna, and from his eyes tears incessantly fall like the flowing Ganges. Sometimes he dances, sometimes he laughs, sometimes he sings, sometimes he cries, and sometimes he roars like a lion. These are all symptoms of ecstasy when chanting the holy name of the Lord. His name, Krishna Chaitanya, is all auspicious to the world. Everything about him, his name, his form, and his qualities is unparalleled. Simply by seeing him, one understands that he possesses all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such characteristics are certainly uncommon. Who will believe it? Now it is described when Prakashananda Sarasvati heard this. The Bengali word is Bahuta Hasila. Who know what is Hasila? Something with laughing. Hasya Yoga. Huh? Bahuta Hasila means he laughed very much. When Prakashananda heard the Brahmana saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, see Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the Supreme Personality of God, he laughed very much. He must have really started to shake and laugh. Prakasananda Sarasvati acknowledged actually that yes, I have heard about this sannyasi from Bengal. He is very sentimental. And he said, I have also heard that he belongs to the Bharati Sampradaya. That's actually not such a high class sannyasi order, a sannyas order. He is one of us. We are also, there are 10 sannyas orders from the time of Shankara, and one is the Bharati. It's a little low. Much higher are the Sarasvati, Prakashananda Sarasvati. He's much, much higher, much, much learned than the Bharati. And then he said, yes, he's one of us, but actually he's only a pretender. And then he said, I want to say this in Bengali so that you can study this. Chaitanya nama tandra bhavuka ganalana deshe deshe grame grame bhule nachana. Sounds already. Deshe deshe, from land to land, and from grame grame, from village to village. He's traveling and dancing around like an artist. But it's interesting. I know that his name is Chaitanya, and that he is accompanied by many sentimentalists. His followers dance with him, and he tours from country to country and village to village. I do not wish to read further because you would become very disturbed. Prakashananda is talking very arrogantly. But what is interesting is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was introduced to him as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. But when he refers to him, he says, Chaitanya, Prakashananda Sarasvati says, only Chaitanya. He doesn't say the full name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Chaitanya is a usual Mayavadi word, which Mayavadis use. It means consciousness, full of consciousness. And when this Brahmana heard Prakashananda talking like this, that he's sannyasi in name, only this Chaitanya, and he became very grief-stricken in his heart, and he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu afterwards and told him what Prakashananda Sarasvati, the leader in Kashi or Varanasi, had said about him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled only at that time. the Brahmana told him, I uttered your name, I said your name, and he acknowledged that he knew your name. But when he was criticizing you, he uttered your name three times, saying, this Chaitanya, 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 but he didn't say Krishna. This was striking me. I was thinking, why did he not say Krishna? It's almost like, you know, if someone says Medinipati is residing in the Veda Academy and takes care of the designing part of the Veda Academy, and the person to whom Medinipati is introduced says, this Pati, you know, and doesn't mention the whole name Medinipati. That strikes you, won't it? That's very unusual. What happened? This Pati. Isn't it, Yamuna? We immediately think that this is very unusual. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so the Brahmana says, although he spoke your name three times, he did not utter the name of Krishna. You know, Krishna Chaitanya. Why could Prakashananda not speak your name? The Brahmana wants to know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies that the Mayavadi impersonalists are great offenders unto Lord Krishna. Therefore they simply utter the words Brahman, Atma and Chaitanya. The holy name of Krishna is not manifest in their mouth because they are offenders unto Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's identical with his holy name. And then he continues to describe actually the non-difference of the holy name and Lord Krishna. He quotes a very famous verse. Please repeat after me. Nama Chintamani Krishnas.
Nama Chintamani Krishnas.
Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha.
Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha.
Puno Shuddho Nitya Mukto.
Puno Shuddho Nitya Mukto.
Vinatvang Namanamino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and always fully spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. So the holy name is fully identical with Krishna, and it has transcendental qualities of Krishna, but it also carries the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And what is said here, it is a form full of rasa, means a form full of spiritual taste. The holy name is Krishna and therefore gives taste, and the taste of Lord Krishna's form, the taste of Lord Krishna's pastimes. And now, in order to prove this, that Krishna is very powerful, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that even things which are connected with Krishna are already very powerful in moving the minds of a person who is not offensive. Even things which are connected with Krishna are already moving our hearts. What to speak then of Krishna himself? This is a very commonly used form of logic, that if this already is moving us, then what to speak of that? You know, there's a very common Sanskrit logic which I don't know at the moment the name of, but it's very often that the logic of being in connection with something and then carrying the influence of this. And the example Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives is the tulsi leaves which were offered to the Lord's lotus feet, and somehow it once happened that the aroma of these tulsi leaves were carried by a breeze into the nose of the four Kumaras, and when they were smelling the fragrance of these two lassis, they were awakening the pure Krishna consciousness. So this is explained here. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, however, cannot be registered and not be loved by someone who has whose receptivity is blocked by offenses. If you commit offenses in your life, then this influence of Krishna does not move you. It just does not touch your heart. And the example here is this Prakashananda, who criticizes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, he says very strong things. He calls him a pretender, a sannyasi in name only. He says he has a band of foolish followers, and they dance from village to village like an entertainment party. He really says heavy offenses, we have to say. It is almost too much on an empty stomach for devotees. It's really heavy. And therefore, although Krishna is so powerful to move people's heart, rasa, he evokes rasa, and although even things which are in contact with Krishna already, you know, this is has convinced the impersonalists, it does not work out for the offenders. So it's very interesting how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reflects over this incident where an offender can't speak Krishna's name, even, you know, Prakashananda Saraswati. He says to the Brahmana something about his mission. And when you hear this, a very subtle point will become very clear to you. He says, I feel very bad because I came with a certain mission to Kashi, I wanted actually to distribute the holy name, but it seems not possible because the people are here so offensive. And you must understand, Prakashananda Saraswati was extremely influential, and he was really dominating the spiritual scene of Varanasi. Everyone was his follower. He had only 50,000 disciples, but these were sannyasis. You know how rare it is to find a sannyasi nowadays, that everyone wishes to marry. This is extremely rare to find a sannyasi. We don't even know if all sannyasis are really lifelong sannyasis. We have to see this. The experience is that not all sannyasis are lifelong sannyasis. So everyone really was his followers, and he had followers, and he had 50,000 sannyasis. I mean, this person was unimaginable influential. And Lord Chaitanya says, I'm very sorry. He doesn't say, I'm sorry because I'm offended. He is transcendental, he is blissful, he doesn't care. He says, I came with a mission to distribute the holy name to Varanasi, but it seems it's not possible that the leader can't even say Krishna. So then he describes himself as a merchant who came with some goods to sell, and now he has to take everything back. I know how this feels. It's absolutely frustrating. I took 50 books with me to Mayapur, Gayatri books, and we had a table, and we had the price 1,100 euros, which is the proper price.
Rupees.
I'm sorry. Yes, rupees. This is the proper price. It was given to us by Kala Kanta, and we were fully dedicated to this prize. We had accepted it in our heart, this prize. But everyone passed the book table and said, it's impossible for me to purchase. I don't have so much money. And I was feeling, well, now I have to take 50 books home. I'm already overweight. I have to pay the people so many dollars to you know, this is the highest form of frustration. I felt it because I'm the author. I felt even not valued and not accepted in the community of Vaishnavas. I felt very distressed. So you know, Mahaprabhu says, I have come here to sell my emotional ecstatic symptoms and sentiments. Hare Krishna. He wanted to sell ecstasy through the chanting of the holy name. Bhava Kali, he says. Bhava means bhava. Emotional ecstasy. He wanted to sell bhava. I have come here to sell my emotional ecstatic sentiments in the city of Kashi. But I cannot find any customers. If they are not sold, I must take them back home. I have brought a heavy load to sell in the city. To take it back again is a very difficult job. Therefore, if I get but a fraction of the price, I shall sell it here in the city of Kashi. I remembered this in Mayapur. I decided I will not take my books back, even if I have to throw them after the devotees. I felt I was highly determined. In a moment I imagined Kala Kanta's angry face, but I said, I don't care. And then we lowered the price down, but by Krishna's inconceivable arrangement, someone gave the extra amount as a donation from his heart. So now we can satisfy the Gayatri publisher also. So So then what is really Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Prabhupada speaks in this mood also. Actually, we experienced this, says Prabhupada, when we came to preach the Hare Krishna movement in the West. When we came to New York in 1965, we never expected that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra would be accepted in this country. Nonetheless, we invited people to our storefront to join in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And the Lord's holy name is so attractive that simply by coming to our storefront in New York, fortunate young people became Krishna conscious. Although this mission was started with insignificant capital, it is now going on nicely. The spreading of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the West has become successful because the young people were not offenders. The youth who joined this movement were not very advanced as far as purity was concerned, nor were they well educated in Vedic knowledge, no. But because they were not offenders, they could accept the importance of the Hare Krishna movement. We are now very happy to see that the movement is advancing more and more in the Western countries. We therefore conclude that the so-called mlechas and yavanas of the Western countries are more purified than offensive mayavadis or atheistic impersonalists. This is conclusion. Prabhupada has thought about it and he has come to this conclusion. So what then is the price really to accept the devotional ecstasies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You must be non-offensive in your conduct, and you must actually be able to pay a little reduced price. And that has been described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and in all the Chaitanya literature. It is Shraddha. You must have some faith. That's important. I would say when you have some faith, you are not really offensive. See, offenses have two stages. And I want to say this really because I think many devotees, when they hear offenses, they become so shocked and so afraid. And maybe in the past it was sometimes not sufficiently explained that offenses means really a bad intention which you have, and you do something out of a mistake. That's not really considered an offense. The offense really is an offense the moment you have a bad intention. I think we should use another word. For a moment, no, we should not replace the word. That's not the intention. But offensive, it means an aggressive mentality. Don't we say we gehen in die Offensive? You know, it means you are now decided to become aggressive. It has some emotion, some things. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not accepting as an offense if you do mistakes. Of course it becomes critical the moment you actually know it's a mistake which you do, you say, and you continue the mistake. Then you're entering that gray zone where your action might actually disqualify you from the emotional ecstasies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here it starts to get dangerous when you know something and you say, anyway, I'm now doing it the other way. Then you enter the gray zone until this emotion, this anyway emotion, can come into an really aggressive mood, which means to criticize the Lord or the Lord's servants, the devotees. Here we must be careful. But I want to say that devotees are not, sometimes they are so afraid when they hear this word offensive and they think, I'm a great offender. No, it's the moment you are actually offensive and aggressive. And this starts really when you start to ignore, when you become very negligent. The way your offenses begin to manifest is, it's described, it goes against devotees, not immediately Krishna. That is at a much later stage. But when you start to be negligent, then you will come into an area where you will find fault with devotees. You will find it intolerable to not find fault with devotees. You will be pushed into really criticizing devotees when du das schleifen lässt. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on that time he only met with his devotees, and here is described how he traveled. What means the emotional ecstasy? He chanted and danced the whole day before the temple of Veni Madhava. That's a Krishna form. As soon, this is now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has arrived in Prayag, where two rivers meet. I believe it's the Ganga. Yes, it's the Ganga and the Yamuna. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Yamuna, you know, it comes, here it's white, the Ganga, and here it's blackish, it's the Yamuna. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Yamuna, can you imagine what he did? He was in ecstasy, that is clear. Prema Mayi, I think you have an idea. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became blank. This is very, he fainted. Yeah, as Gadara said it, he threw himself in it. Because the Krishna, you know, when Lord Chaitanya saw something black, he just was inside it. Balabhadra Bhattachai, this is his servant, hastily caught the Lord and very carefully raised him up again. And then here you can see the Lord stayed at Prayag for 3 days. Can you imagine what he did there? It has to do what he couldn't do in Kashi. He delivered the holy names of Krishna and ecstatic love. He chanted and he delivered the goods. He was a merchant, you know. People had some faith. They were not Mayavadis like in Kashi, and so he chanted in the public, and people had ecstatic love. Thus, he delivered many people. Wherever the Lord stopped to rest on the way to Mathura, he delivered the holy name of Krishna and ecstatic love of Krishna. Thus he made the people dance. When the Lord toured South India, he delivered many people, and when he travelled in the western sector, he similarly converted many people to Vaishnavism. While the Lord was going to Mathura, he came across the river Yamuna several times. You can't, the ways will not permit that you stay on one side all the time, so he had to cross it. And as soon as he saw the river Yamuna, he would immediately jump in, falling unconscious in the water in the ecstasy of love of Krishna. So this is the description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He really is giving the holy name, and through the holy name he gives us his ecstatic what is it? How it was so nicely translated, ecstatic sentiments, huh? Ecstatic devotional sentiments. I would really encourage you to understand that this is the central mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mission means something which went outside. This is the essential point, and I must tell you, I must confess to you, when I was in Mayapur, my first reaction was, because we were a little exhausted from the South Indian tour, we traveled very fast to do many things at once, and when we came, well, there were so many devotees that at the moment I was really overwhelmed with so many devotees. And then the hermit in me came through and said, "What am I doing here? I mean, this is for the young people, not for me." I went to the deities, I prayed to them, "You have called me here to Mayapur. Please make my stay valuable and let me serve you." And then a very clear realization entered the heart. You are not here to be the hermit. You are here to chant with large numbers of people their holy names in Sankirtan. And that is what I did for the rest of the time, and I felt great. I felt extremely happy, extremely fulfilled, I felt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had accepted me in his movement, and I felt very much ecstatic, actually. So I wish to remind you of this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I wish to also make very clear that if you don't feel the rush means the ecstatic taste of Krishna consciousness, please look carefully at your shraddha and look carefully at your own performance of devotional service. Look especially at the side of offenses towards devotees. There you can see when you have a knatschiges Gefühl, then maybe these are some results of negligence. It doesn't have to be, but maybe it could be. It could be. You have to study yourself. You will find out yourself very easily. I thought it's very nice to just move into Chaitanya Charitamrita like this and gain an understanding. Mahaprabhu really is someone, I mean, is the personality we should take shelter under. Just a few days ago there was the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj stayed for a long time in Vrindavan. Especially he stayed at Suryakund. If you come to Suryakund, you will find actually his bhajan kutir. I must tell you, I was so fortunate. I was staying there for a long time and would go there always. Jagannath Das Babaji would worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there, Gonitai there, regularly. He had his place, and then a little temple. So once there were some Gundas who thought his deities were made out of gold. So they came in the middle of the night and took the deities and servant Bihari said, Guru Maharaj, they're stealing the date. And Guru Maharaj said, that's not my business, that's the business of Chaitanya. If he wants to go, let him go. he had full understanding that the Lord was identical, the deities were the Lord. Let him go. So at that time the gangsters in Uttar were just running out of the temple room, but they didn't see the turbine and they ran with their hair paying on the turbine with full speed, and then they fainted and woke up and again woke up. I wanted to run out, but again they paying went against the turbine. And finally they thought, this is too much. And they put the deities back very carefully and ran away. Typical India story. So Jagannath Swamiji loved to be in Vrindavan, but towards the end of his life, when he was like 125 years old, it's very interesting, he told Bihari, you please carry me out of Vrindavan. Bihari took him on a big basket, you know, carried him out of the bridge basket. He said, but you're so old, there's no guarantee that you will live for long. You cannot leave Vrindavan now, Baba. No, that's Babaji. Chaitanya. I must go. And he went to Navadvip and he stayed there until he left his body. And the reason which he gave is, it's Kali Yuga. We are very, very unfortunate in Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the king of this age, the Kali Yuga avatar, and he is to be taken shelter of. Then it's possible. And you must understand, this personality was so much in, it was so much in ecstasy. It's described when he met Bhagavad Das Babaji of Kalna. When the two met, you know, two pure devotees, they embraced each other, and for 6 hours they were rolling in the dust, chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna in very sweet voices, being so much impressed by the devotional ecstasy. But he said, Vrindavan, I must go to Gauranga, to my Gauranga, Ami Gauranga Das. I am the servant of Gauranga. And he actually went there to Navadvip. We visited his Samadhi Mandir and we chanted very feelingly and very ecstatically. We chanted in this melody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 2,500 devotees, very nice. And we felt some of the mercy of Jagannath Das Babaji going into our heart, and our and what this meant is an understanding that yes, in this age of quarrel, we need to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feels like this. I have these emotional goods. I came to distribute them, but it's Kali Yuga. No one has the prize. Now, even if someone has only a fraction of the prize, I will give it to them. And the fraction is Shraddha, little Shraddha, and on the negative side, avoid offenses. Very simple. Even we can keep this in our mind and not forget it. It's a very simple. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I was very impressed when we had this meetings. I know that soon you will not believe us any longer when we talk of meetings and their results, but there was a strong feeling of that two devotees who were having that meeting first, Gadadhar and Bhakta Yosef, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be the center of our endeavors. I was very impressed. I thought some mercy of Jagannath Das Babaji had entered you. This was my feeling. Hare Krishna. It's nice to hear how the Brahmana thought about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, isn't it? And how he told this to Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur. Very nice, isn't it? You have an Augenzeugenpflicht. Hare Krishna. This not being offensive to each other is something we might have to consider very deeply. I was yesterday, what I have noticed in my life, I don't know if you have also noticed it, when you are close to someone, you can hurt that person very much by something which is in your eyes a small thing. I have noticed it. I was not aware of this. I thought the closer you are with someone, the more you can be, you can be more. You don't need to. How to say? You can be more unbefangen. Unbefangen is a German word. It means you can be. You don't have to be so. How do you say, so paranoid that I do something wrong. Now, and that is certainly true in most cases. I mean, if you are close to someone, you can, for instance, pass air and say, oops, and it's not a problem at all. Whereas someone else might think you are very uncultured and so on. And there are many other things which you can obviously do when you are close to someone. Like you can just say, I'm very hungry, could you just take care, please? And the person will run. You can't say this to anyone, you know, you can't ring at the house of someone, they are very hungry, can you please? But you can also very easily hurt someone, and I would request you to study this subject a little bit. I'm just becoming I'm now 51. I'm now getting more becoming more aware of this, I'm not qualified to speak about this because I also don't know any Shastic references at the moment, but I want to think more about it, why this is so. It's amazing. It's really amazing, and I think we need to think a little bit about it, because it does happen in our community quite often that all of a sudden someone feels hurt. And you're often very astonished. What did I do wrong now? I mean, please explain. I like to know, and so on. So we must think about this a little bit. Maybe it also happens because there is an insecurity. Like, am I really accepted the way I am? This question, I think, is also very important. Am I really accepted the way I am? Am I really loved the way I am? This may be then when something happens which is in that area where we feel accepted or not accepted, then we are a little, a the devotees are maybe oversensitive. But then it's our duty to help the devotees to understand, yes, you are the best, or I mean, not the best, but you are accepted. I think it's so important, because imagine if you can get the ecstatic sentiments of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just if you have a little shraddha and you are not offensive, I mean, then you have to work on these things. You know, this is what we want to have, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to be ecstatic, Medini? You know, absolutely ecstatic, and of course, everyone wants to be ecstatic in this life. This is maybe we would not say it like this, but everyone wishes to be ecstatic. Who wouldn't like to be ecstatic? Thomas, wouldn't you like to be ecstatic?
Okay.
Yeah. Frank, a bit in ecstasy. Heavy, ne? Richtig Ekstase, Heavy Hancock. So. And we should be ready to pay this little price, you know, to be the opposite of offensive towards devotees. Helpful, inspiring. Often it doesn't take much. Often devotees are satisfied with just an encouraging word. I've noticed this when I was in Mayapur. You often meet these devotees who have just arrived by the airplane and are a little mental because they have not yet slept enough, and there's everything so different, and the sun burns and the mosquitoes are in the night, and everything is so uncomfortable, and they're a little mental. So, but then if you go to them and say, "Oh, so nice that you are here, can I help you, you know, like would you like to have a little of my mosquito ointment, you know, it is good again when the sun goes down, to have a little on the ankles here, please take a little," the devotees are immediately very satisfied with someone recognizes me. Oh, well, very good. I believe this is important. It's such a simple point. I hope I don't bore you, but I really think it's important. If you wish to make progress in this, there is only one place to start. There's really only one place. There's no other place. And you can't make conferences about it. You have to start in your own life. To be the opposite of offensive. This is the place where you can start. There's no other place. Anyways, I'm sorry, I went a little bit into this direction. I just wanted to show you how Mahaprabhu went to Kashi, how he reacted when no one took his goods, how he said, "Oh, then I go somewhere else." He went to Prayag and there he distributed everything because the people had a little shraddha, don't need much, and they were innocent, they were not this type of Mayavadis. Good, so I have come to the end here. Do you have any questions? Harvey Hancock. Wer war denn eigentlich Harvey Hancock?
Trommler.
Trommler oder?
Nein, ja. Also Synthesizer.
Ja, okay. Ja.
Wie entwickle ich denn Schaden?
Wie entwickle ich Shraddha? very interesting that in spiritual philosophy, Shraddha is compared with a lady, a queen, a beautiful queen of Shraddha. She's called Shraddha Devi. And you need to make your heart, the way it's described is, she has to enter the heart, if you wish. Yeah. Now, whenever you, I don't know if someone was of you in the situation of inviting a lady, and you know, I'm coming from a different generations. I know when I was in the situation, I just put my room in order so that she would not feel that I'm a dangerous gangster. Put the room in order, and then, you know, I prepared some juice, you know, to be acceptable, you know. I gave her a proper seat, you know, which was not too close to my seat, so that there was no misunderstanding that I was. Like that, you prepare your heart, really, if you want the queen of Shraddha to enter. And to prepare the heart means there must be some devotional energy, and this devotional energy which will attract Shraddha Devi is really, you need to get it from somewhere. The place that Bhakti Devi resides, where this devotional energy which is required to make your heart proper, this is in sadhus and in the proper spiritual activities. They also are full with bhakti, but these activities should be also executed under the guidance of sadhus, you know, with their mood, with their understanding, with their knowledge. What is therefore said is, when you chant, for instance, you remember a sadhu, your spiritual master, for instance. Yes, your spiritual master, or Srila Prabhupada, and you begin to feel that this devotional energy enters your heart. Like I still, you know, it still happens to me when I hear Prabhupada chanting, I become electrified. It still happens to me that I become, like I could never work and have a tape of Prabhupada in the back chanting. It just doesn't work. I become stunted. I can't do this because here you hear. And then you make the place, you make your heart, it has to be touched so that Shraddha Devi can come in there. Shraddha is the matter of the heart, have you noticed? You give your heart at one stage. Shra means heart, and Da means to give. Beautiful queen of Shraddha Devi. I like to think of this. Of Shraddha Devi, like a beautiful queen which can enter my heart when there is a devotional atmosphere in my heart. And you have to get this atmosphere sometimes from outside. Also Bhakti Granthas, the scriptures are giving us this very good book. I hope you will discover it. Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Or Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada would always say Chaitanya Charitamrita. He took this from his own spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who made a statement, if all the books in the world would be burned, and if Chaitanya Charitamrita would remain, no loss. And Prabhupada even said there will be a time when people learn Bengali to study Chaitanya Charitamrita. Do you know this language of Chaitanya Charitamrita is called in Bengal the Sadhu Bhasha, Sadhu language. It's in the Sadhu language. It's apparently very beautiful. Bhaktivinoda songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs are also in the Sadhu Bhasha. And they have something with them. Like I was in I don't know if I told you, I was with the Bengali Nalhatis. I like this so much more than the Westerners. The Westerners, I was there for preaching, and with the Bengali Nalhatis, I was there for learning. And you know, they would sing these songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in the midst of it, they would all exclaim, like, you know, to like 1,500 or 2,000, I don't know. You can't count these masses any longer if you don't want to count. They would go like, ha ha, when the point was made, ha ha. And then there was something very sentimental, and sentimental is not a good word in English, something very touching, and then they would all cry. with bona fide emotions of Krishna consciousness. So very nice. I also wanted the only problem is they just want to touch the feet of sannyasis. I mean, it's, and you can't, you know, they can't understand why not. It's best, you know. They just jump, and they are old omas, you know. They just jump at your feet, and old opas, and then when devotees bring them away, they start to cry because now it's not possible, you know. And they really cry. There were two people who wanted to touch my feet, and I was really, you know, you couldn't even move any longer. You were falling on people because so many come, you know. And then two were just impossible, and devotees just took them away, and they stood there and cried, no mercy today. That's the problem with that. I should next time dress in a grihastha dress. And then no one will look at me. That is the Bengali means the sannyasis are, you know, almost godlike. You know, when you have such a stick, you are in danger. When Prabhupada started to preach, he would put a brahmachari, they would open the program and sing and so on. He would put him on the main lecture seat. Prabhupada accompanied him with mridanga, you know, like 18-year-old brahmachari. And then he would let the brahmachari explain a little bit so that the people would stay, and then he would give a lecture. Because sannyasis were not recognized in the Bengali society as preachers. Grihastas. You are lucky that you are in the West, where no one knows what is a sannyasi. Oh, when someone is a sannyasi, is he a real sannyasi? Maybe not. We have seen so many sannyasis come and go. This is maybe the Western reaction. You feel a little intimidated in this dress. <You're> lucky. So I like to think of Sharada Devi as a beautiful queen. Rupa, and I have to prepare the right atmosphere, otherwise she's not there in the heart. How will a queen come to you in your unaufgeräumtes Zimmer, Abby? No, she will look and boop, boop, boop. And then she will go to Ganga Devi because her room is very aufgeräumt. So yesterday. Gut. Dann würde ich sagen, alles Gute. May the beautiful queen of Sharada Devi come in our hearts. Wow. May we have a devotional energy in there. ecstatic devotional sentiments of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shraddha Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulasi Devi ki, go, Prema Nandini, go.